Bava Kamma Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin 7-7, the last of the Perek. And because up to now the Mishnah has been dealing largely throughout the Masechta with halachas that apply to livestock and animals, here as we wrap up the 7th Perek and that topic, the Mishnah discusses various Dine Derabbanan, rabbinic enactments, which restrict or govern the way in which one raises livestock. So the Mishnah has a bunch of different kind of unrelated cases. The verse says, Ein megadlin behema daka be'eretz Yisrael. One may not, literally translating it, raise small animals, meaning flocks of goats and sheep, in Eretz Yisrael. We'll see in a second this is limited to urban centers, but what's driving it is that Chazal wanted to ensure the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is possible, of the mitzvah of dwelling in the land of Israel, and therefore they wanted the land of Israel to be able to support as large a population as possible. Now, if you're talking about competing for land resources, you can allocate your land towards raising agricultural crops to support, provide food for people, or you could also raise livestock. If you raise livestock, they'll end up, eating the wheat grass that's growing will be eaten by the sheep, therefore you won't have enough wheat. So although there is perhaps benefits to having more animals, you could support a larger population by having more land dedicated to agriculture. And therefore the Mishnah is saying here that you cannot raise goats and sheep, which would then end up limiting the amount of agricultural output of the land. Aval megadlin b'Suria, what you could do is raise without any restrictions goats and sheep in Suria. Suria essentially is like modern-day Syria to the north of Israel. The point of the Mishnah is that in the time of Bais Rishon, the time of the first temple period, David HaMelech, King David, conquered this area called Suria. It's around the Euphrates River, up farther north in modern-day Israel. And his conquest didn't constitute a formal expansion of the halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael, meaning that the land of Suria was uninvested with the same sanctity as Eretz Yisrael proper. The exact technical reason why, there's a bit of a discussion in the Rishonim, but the point is, he didn't do it with the full participation and or authorization of the Klal Yisrael. He acted sort of as a private person or like in a private kind of way. And therefore, while the political borders of Israel extended in the time of David, King David, to Suria, the Eretz Yisrael, the sanctity of the land, did not extend that far. It's kind of like, the issue of, the Medina Yisrael, the political boundaries of the modern state of Israel, which today, let's say, would include Eilat, but Eilat is not part of Eretz Yisrael. It was never invested with the Kedusha B'Pasha, simply, presumably it wasn't. So the point is that Chazal didn't really see any great value in Jews being able to live in Suria. That wasn't a fulfillment of the spiritual benefits of living in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they didn't restrict one's raising of livestock in Suria, because they didn't mind if the population actually was forced to move further south, because they couldn't support such a large population, they'd come to Eretz Yisrael proper. Okay? Uvumidbaros sheba Eretz Yisrael. Also, they said you may raise flocks of sheep and goats without restriction in the wilderness of Israel, since there's no people living out there. Those lands wouldn't be dedicated towards agricultural uses, and therefore you're not sort of limiting the amount of total population in Israel if you have goat and sheep grazing out in the wilderness outside the bounds of the urban centers. At all events, it should be spoken out for a moment that certainly, cows and horses and mules would also be potentially eating from agricultural output, which would limit the total amount of food that could be produced in Israel to support people, but the rabbis did not restrict the raising of behema gasos, larger animals like horses, cows, etc., because those are also used for farming itself and other, they're draft animals, they're work animals, and so on, pack animals, and the rabbis didn't want to make a takana that would be too difficult, make it too difficult for the people. Anytime you have the people can't stand up to the takana, it wouldn't be binding, and therefore they said goats and sheep we can manage without, but not with other kind of work animals. So that's din number one. Din number two, like a new paragraph. Ein megadlin tarnagolim b'Yerushalayim mipnei hakadshim. The rabbi said that you can't have essentially free-range chickens running around in the Jerusalem area, because chickens would, where would they get their food if they're kind of free-range chickens? They would go to the ashpaot, the trash heaps, around the perimeter of the city, where all sorts of stuff was there, including, you know, dead rats and that kind of thing. And the concern was that the chickens pecking at the in the trash heaps would end up bringing back little bones, even a bone the size of a seora, like a barley corn, would be a source of tumah if it came from a sheretz, when they ate shratzim. And the concern was that the area of Jerusalem is full of people eating kadshim. Remember, everyone who comes to Yerushalayim and brings, let's say, just a shlamim or a tod or whatever it is, would be eating kadshim kalim throughout the walls of Jerusalem. And the concern was that there could be little, you know, sources, undetected source of tumah infiltrating by means of the chickens bringing bones from the garbage heaps. And therefore, they said no chickens in Jerusalem. These means it's kind of chickens that are free to roam around, but chickens that are in a chicken coop and kept, you know, indoors and confined, those are permitted. You see, for example, the mission in Maseches Yoma, if you remember the end of the first parak, it said the Kriyas HaGever, talked about the rooster crowing. You see that in Jerusalem there were roosters crowing, but these roosters and chickens were kept, you know, indoors in a lull in like a chicken coop, and that way they couldn't go wandering around bringing tumah. Similarly, says the Mishnah, V'lo Kohanim be'eretz Yisrael mipnei ha'taharos. Even outside of Jerusalem, the Kohanim may not keep chickens anywhere in the country of Israel because of taharos. So the idea is that there's no possibility of kadshim being eaten outside the walls of Jerusalem, even kadshim kalim is confined to that space. But the Kohanim are also given gifts of truma, which actually is truma gedola and trumas meiser and challah, all of which the Kohen has an obligation in midorais to ensure it stays tahor, to be shomer, to protect the truma from becoming tamei. And even if he hasn't got truma in his house now, if he has chickens around, the next thing you know, the chickens will bring that some kasora into the house, then the utensils in the kitchen, like the bowls or the knives, whatever the story, might become tamei. And then later on, when the Kohen gets his truma, he'll end up inadvertently being matamit, and therefore the rabbi said, no Kohanim are allowed to raise chickens anywhere inside of Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's not an issue because there's no truma for starters outside of Eretz Yisrael. And while there is perhaps challah, even so, Eretz Yisrael is tummy from beginning to end, so it wouldn't be a problem. It's not relevant. Okay. Now, next. Ein megadlin chazirim b'chol makom. Jews cannot raise pigs, period. This is a din d'rabbanan. The truth is that already this is din d'oraisa that Jews can't raise non-kosher animals for as a food source, even if you're selling to non-Jews. So pig farming is just, even before the din d'rabbanan, would be forbidden if you're raising pigs, you know, to sell, you know, to make pork chops. However, let's say, for example, you had a football factory, you needed to have pig hides. So in d'oraisa, that's not a problem for commercial purposes to raise, you know, pigs for their hides, etc. But the rabbi said no. And why did they say no, specifically regarding pigs? Because of Maitza Shahaya, it once happened at the end of the Hasmonean period that these two brothers, Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, were fighting over control of Yerushalayim. One was besieging the other, one was outside the walls, one was in the walls. And even though there was like a military campaign happening, the people outside the walls provided people inside the walls with two sheep every day and like a dumbwaiter that was carried up over the walls so they could bring the Tamidin, the daily offerings, in the Beis HaMikdash, until one time someone realized, listen, as long as we keep on providing the people on the inside with the Tamidin, the sheep, then we're never going to win this war because Hashem will be helping them. And therefore, in sort of an act of brazen, disgusting behavior, they put, instead of sheep, they put a pig in the dumbwaiter, and says the Gemara, the pig stuck its like hooves into the walls of Yerushalayim, and the whole country shook. It's this revolting, terrible event. To which the rabbis responded and said, listen, that's it. We're done with pigs. No pigs being raised by Jews, period. Okay, next, again, another new paragraph. Lo yigadel adam es hakelev. A person may not raise dogs. Ele imkin haya kashur b'shalsheles, unless the dog is restrained by like a metal chain. The issue here, this is not really a source that says that having a pet poodle is a problem. It's saying that dogs are big and scary. They bark and they can cause women to even have miscarriages by scaring them and so on. So therefore, unless your dog is restrained by a chain so no one will be scared of it, it's not allowed to maintain such a dog because people, like I said, can get bitten or get scared, miscarry and the like, God forbid. So therefore, if you want to have a poodle in your house that's harmless and doesn't, you know, little cute little golden retriever and so on, that Bapashas is not restricted by this Mishnah. It's scary dogs that scare people. Okay, fine. The last case of the Mishnah is talking about Ein Parsin Nishbim Leona. One may not spread traps to catch pigeons and doves. Elaim ken haya rachuk min yishuv shloshim ris, unless these traps are being set up far out of the city. The concern is that, well, people did want to raise pigeons and doves for the sake of all sorts of things, for food, for fertilizer, for communication purposes, korbanos. But the problem is that while a wild pigeon might be wild and you have rights to collect it just like you can catch a fish in the ocean or something, many people own their doves privately and the doves do move around, you know, as they feed themselves. So when you set up a net, you could be catching someone else's dove, and that would be essentially geneva. And therefore, the rabbi said you have to set up your nets to catch these doves far out of the urban centers, so that presumably if you catch a bird, it's a hefker, ownerless bird, not a privately owned bird. As far as the distance, shloshim ris, other girsos say rus, but these are 7.5, the pashas is there 7.5 of these to 1 mil, so shloshim ris would be 4 mil. The mil, 2,000 amos, the etymology really is the same as our English word for mile. It was like a, from the word like 1,000 in Latin, like a millipede, 1,000 legs, or a millimeter, and so on. So it's 1,000 paces of a Roman soldier, but the rabbis don't work in paces, they worked in cubits, so then they have like the amma. So it's 2,000 amos, which although it sounds like a mile, really is much closer to the modern day kilometer. Okay, so something like around 4 kilometers outside of the city is the closest you can put your bird traps to ensure that you're not catching people's privately owned birds. Okay, and with that, we finish the 7th parak of Bava Kamma and these topics altogether. Now we go on to the 8th parak, a whole new topic about Chabala injuring your fellow Jew.